Welcome to episode 239 of After the Credits. I'm your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, I'm here, Bigly.
Dale, the space cadet.
You guys got me out. Bigly and space cadet. Okay. And this is where we're at. Welcome to...
We can only go up.
We can only go up from here. Well, you know, I don't know about that. welcome to the August preview, the month that never ends.
And yeah. What the hell happened to July?
I don't know. Mind you, I mean, we are recording slightly earlier than we usually would, so it's kind of still considered mid-month. But July feels really fucking long.
It is. It is.
How many weeks are in July? Is it 5 weeks or 6 weeks? Because it feels like it's a 6 week
I think
month.
It was 5 weeks, and the weeks are all packed with trailers, except for the very last one, I think.
Oh, you mean August?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but I mean July. Oh. July feels like it's the month that never ends.
Oh, not for me.
I mean, I haven't been to the movies, but it feels like the month that never ends. It just feels like so long, and I keep messing up the weekends. People keep telling me, let's do something this weekend. I'm like, I can't. I've got this one thing. I've said this one thing has been keeping my weekends busy for 3 weekends in a row because I have it on the wrong weekend in my mind, and it just, I can't.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
I can't cope. Yeah, yeah, I can't cope. It's been okay.
My July has been like, well, I should say the year started on a frickin' rocket sled, and the sled ain't slowing down.
Oh, is it just getting...
The months just keep streaming frickin' by.
This month has dragged like hell, but it's because it's hotter than Hazy's, and I'm... I actually had heat stroke at work one day last week.
Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Almost as bad as migraines.
Well, the construction deck is basically, an anvil, and the sun is in fact a hammer, and I am the lump of metal in between the two that's being hammered on for 8 hours and dying.
Yeah, not pleasant.
No. I'm as tanned as I have ever been in my entire life, man. Okay. I am
seriously?
This is shockingly dark. I am one step away from albino normally.
She's dark.
I don't have pink eyes, so I don't qualify for full albino status.
She's dark like ivory snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
99.33%. I don't know. I screwed that up. Anyways, yes. Movies.
Movies. Actually, there's a shit ton, isn't there?
Yeah, so let's jump right in. August 3rd opens with Christopher Robin from the director of Finding Neverland.
Feels like someone saw Hook and went, hey, we should do that with Winnie the Pooh.
Exactly, pretty much. It looks like it could be cute.
It could be cute.
And Sue McGregor. His accent's always great.
Yeah.
He's just
so
charming.
Yes, the Winnie the Pooh character has come into the real world to help out a adult Christopher Robin navigate his life.
This is sort of like post-World War II sort of English sort of backgrounds. Yeah. I like that.
I was amazed at how they nailed the voice from the cartoons I remember as a kid. Like, those are the voices.
Yeah, they totally nailed that.
I don't know, like, for people that didn't grow up watching the cartoon, I don't even know the origin of the cartoons. I just watched them on TV. But I to me, the voices are iconic. I wouldn't expect that of, like, kids now.
Yeah, but I don't remember the TV show.
I think for the parents, the people that remember the cartoon.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really charming, and I really like you, McGregor.
Yeah, so. I'm after my experience with Paddington the Bear, I'm not going to shit on this. It could be...
Yeah, it looks
quality. It could be really wonderful. Yeah.
Also on the 3rd, The Darkest Minds from Jennifer Nelson, who has shifted from animation to live action. Which is kind of awesome.
It's like X-Men meets teen romance?
Kind of, I guess. I don't know if it's quite like that. I mean, it certainly has. It's hard to look at a movie where you have kids with powers and not think about X-Men.
True.
And they do have that.
except
kind of ripoff scene with the
ripping the metal gate down.
Yeah, I'm like,
this is very much linked to age, though, where X-Men was not
correct. Yeah, so the idea here, it's based on a novel. I forgot to look up who wrote the novel, but it's based on a series of novels, and it's basically a future where any kids under 18 are born with powers. I guess after 18 they lose them. Like, I don't know. They don't say that, but
it's like the Star Trek episode with the Grumps. All the Grumps die.
Oh yeah, the Grumps. Yeah,
kind of like that.
No idea what.
Yeah, all the grown-ups die on this planet, and the kids.
Kids all have right. taken over.
It's kind of, was kind of like a Lord of the Flies.
Thing. Nice. You've hit puberty. You're going to be dead in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be kind of interesting.
I actually was wondering, you don't get a whole lot from the trailer, but this also felt a little bit to me like maybe a, I can't even remember. God, like I said, Space Cadet today. I can't remember the English form, but sort of like a metaphor for voting almost.
Oh, yeah.
It's like claim your power.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I think the concept is really neat. And you know what?
I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in. I thought it looked like it'd be pretty good. I hope the romance is kind of sidelined, but
yeah,
whatever. I can take it or leave it. Okay, I'm so excited to see this. I just can't help myself. The Spy Who Dumped Me. With Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon.
McKinnon.
Yeah. Right? So best friends, one of them gets dumped by a guy that turns out to be a spy.
Shenanigans ensue.
Pretty much. Sam Heughan is in it. I'm in.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah, it looks like it could be fun.
Yep.
Again, I could just watch Kate McKinnon just, I don't know, read the phone book. Yeah, there's something about her that just sort of like, charisma.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like it could be a lot of fun. I'm excited for this. Also on the third, Searching, John Cho was a man trying to find his missing daughter via social media.
It reminded me of the podcast Rabbits, where this person's best friend disappears and then sort of goes down this rabbit hole of like looking into computers and finding bits and pieces, and there's like a mystery behind it.
Yeah.
And you're following the rabbit hole kind of thing.
That makes sense.
I got, the big thing seems to be the mystery of why she disappeared, because they're dropping all these clues.
Yeah, so this...
is that social commentary? Okay. Moving right along.
No. Because I yawned a little bit. Sorry, no, not at all. I was trying to think of the other movie that this reminded me of. It was Unfriended. There was that social media horror movie from like two years ago.
Yep.
Where like people were getting messages from...
I didn't get that kind of vibe though.
No, but the concept of like most of the film unfolding on screen.
Oh, okay.
So... I don't know if you noticed, this is produced by Timur Bekmambetov, the Russian director.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, and he apparently has been sort of on a tear with these kinds of films. So he produced Unfriended, he produced this, and he's actually directed another one, which kind of has a similar concept where most of the film unfolds via computer screens. It's kind of this thing that he's going on at the moment.
There was a TV show a couple years ago called Cult.
Yes,
and there was a huge sort of like subplot in it of secret messages being in the background and everyone basically trying to figure out like the rabbit hole kind of thing. And I always thought it was the biggest miss that program didn't do it in real life. It's sort of like you have this sort of like meta thing going on in the show.
But
why don't you just do the same thing in life and like have some weird obscure prize for people who freaking hunt down all the little connections and
probably would have helped the show
exactly,
which got canned after a season
exactly, and it was actually kind of good other than lack of foresight on that.
Also on the third, the miseducation of Cameron Post with Chloe Grace Moretz about a young woman who was forced into a gay conversion center. People are stupid, but whatever. I actually thought this looked really great. I like Moretz.
The subject matter is infuriating, but like the actual trailer looked good. It makes me want to watch basically conversion therapy.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to think about this. Like, kind of the topic per se
yeah.
doesn't matter to me too much.
Like, try as you want, you're not going to break this.
Yeah, girl. Like, yeah. I think it's, yeah, personally, I think it's garbage. But watching a movie about it, it's kind of, I don't know.
It's a little bit weird, yeah. But I think...
No, I don't think it's weird. I'm not sure. I guess it depends on what issues they're... Like, it's going to be an issues movie, right? Yes. They're going to explore stuff, so...
Yes.
I'm not sure. I didn't get, I guess, enough of a sense of what they were really going to explore. Because clearly they're going in with the premise that this is a dumb, stupid thing.
Yes.
So what exactly are they going to, like, tease out for us to kind of think about? And I didn't get a sense of what that was. So I'm kind of like, well, to the extent that I know about this, I know what my opinion is. It isn't... strike me as entertainment, so I'm not going to go there to have a fun watch. So why am I going to go see this movie? I didn't get a sense of it.
Yeah,
and for me it was kind of like a cautionary tale.
Maybe.
Yeah. Also on the third, Never Going Back.
Oh man, this really one. Funny. This is another one. I have no idea. This could be hilarious. Like, I don't know if I can identify with. You should say what the storyline is.
So it's about these two best friends that are trying to. Are they trying to go to the beach?
They want to take a week off and go to the beach. They deserve a holiday.
They're living a shit life
pretty much
as teenagers, and they want to take a break. So,
Ferris
Bueller for...
Yeah, the chemistry between the two girls is kind of amazing.
I got more of like a White Castle.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Like,
okay.
This like pointless adventure is never going to freaking work out the way we want it to.
Because there's all of these shenanigans that definitely we're getting ourselves into. Yeah. And there's certainly drugs involved. So, hey.
Yeah, like you said, the chemistry...
You guys are so high. Oh, my God. She's on to us.
The chemistry looks really great between the girls. And I think I like that. But some of the storylines, it's like, wow, I might be too old to really enjoy these kind of shenanigans.
I thought it looked like it could be kind of fun. Also on the third, along with the gods, the last 49 days. No idea what this is about from the trailer.
Yeah, neither. It's got swords and a fantasy stuff going on.
Korean fantasy epic loaded with VFX. Yep.
The costuming looks great.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, it could be great. I couldn't figure out, even with the English, I couldn't figure out how there was this like period piece and how it ties into like the modern day stuff.
All of the Korean epics I've seen, they are so serious and they are so epic, and they have like three whole movies in them, and sometimes it's just a wonderful mess that works really well. And other times you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not quite sure from the trailer where this one fits in, but it definitely looks really good.
It does. And you're not going to see anything like this in North America.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Also on the third, Nico 1988. Okay, so full admission, no idea who Nico is because...
Velvet Underground,
it was never my thing. So to me, I had to look her up.
It's excusable.
I don't know about that. And then I couldn't figure out if the trailer... Like, I didn't know if this was a documentary when it started.
I know, right? Yeah.
Or if it was a feature. And then I did some reading and I'm like, okay, so it's a biopic. So it's actually not a documentary, but it totally feels like one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got that going for it. It looks really interesting. So it's basically a biopic about the last year of Nico's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks, you know, like a rock star, a fading rock star in the last kind of...
Except I was... When I saw this, I wasn't interested. I got more interested because this woman had interesting opinions that were coming out in the movie.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to watch the movie to tease that out, though.
Yeah.
But I love some of the comments that she made.
I think the fact that she wasn't actually a rock star.
Yes.
She
was an artist.
She was in somewhere between. Like, yeah. She wasn't a rock star. She wasn't quite an artist. She was some weird middle ground that like she stood on and didn't let go.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that anybody that kind of comes out of that whole Warhol scene, kind of fits into that same sort of gray area.
Exactly. It's like, Warhol wasn't really an artist, but he wasn't a rock star, and he wasn't.
He wasn't a
producer.
Yeah, he was sort of like a little bit of everything. And it seems like almost everybody that's come out of that sort of scene kind of fits in a very in that like Warhol.
Yeah, they invented their own little rock to stand on.
Exactly.
Well, in some some circles, they've definitely been identified as artists, like creating what amounted to a new art form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it certainly looks interesting, but I'm with you. I'm not quite sure. I'm definitely not the person to watch this.
I'm going
to
skip this one and segue right into the next film.
August 10th.
August 10th, The Meg.
The Statham.
And that's right, Jason Statham.
Giant, giant.
Megalodon.
Megalodon.
Mega shark. Woo! Yes.
It certainly looks like it could be fun.
Screw you, Shark Week. We're going bigger and badder.
Oh, yeah. You think you're tough, Shark Week? Well... just wait till you see the Megalodon. Yeah, the opening with the kid looking at the glass window kind of thing, and the shark like butts its nose up to it, and then all of a sudden attacks it. I was like, oh yeah.
I thought that scene was really well done. Like, actually, the trailer kind of impressed me, right?
Because
the kid is there, the shark thing happens, she screams, comes, the shark's gone, right? And they're like, oh, is this going to be like one of those tropes where they don't believe her and then they pull the camera back and it's like, oh, aww, that's awesome.
Yeah. You see 6 foot tall, awesome mouth, like teeth span on the glass. It's like, eee.
And it's directed by Ken Marino, who's kind of done a little bit of everything, including How to Be a Latin Lover. Remember that from last year?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's kind of all over the place. So I thought that was kind of a fun. Also on the 10th, okay, I am so far into this. Spike Lee is so hit and miss for me, but this looks amazing.
Is it Dog Days or?
I
can skip Dog Days because it looks terrible.
Okay, so I totally got confused. So The Meg is directed by John Turtlebaum, who did what the fuck are they called? The National Treasure movies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And Dog Days was the How to Train Your Lover.
Yeah, we can skip that.
Yeah, we can skip that because it's just about a bunch of people and their dogs in the park.
So the feel-good film of the summer.
Black Klansman.
Oh, the scene in the trailer where he picks up the phone and calls David Duke and goes, yeah, I hate those black people and the Mexicans and the Jews. I pretty much hate everyone that isn't 100% white Aryan. And slowly all the other cops in their like swivel seats are slowly spinning around to stare at the black guy.
So I don't know how accurate it is, but the true life story of Ron Stallworth, who's played by John David Washington, a African-American police officer who infiltrates the KKK and like becomes like a leader, which is fucking crazy.
It is. It sounds so insane. Like the movie had that really nice, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it also stars Topher Grace as like a racist motherfucker, which is hilarious. And Alec Baldwin and Adam Driver.
Adam Driver.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Like I say, it's Spike Lee is kind of hit and miss for me sometimes, but this just looks amazing.
He's very hit and miss for me.
He's more miss than hit for me, but this looks fun.
That trailer 100% sold me on this film. Agreed. I need to see this.
Agreed. Also on the 10th, Madeline's Madeline. Okay,
what the hell is this?
So this is the thing. I think this trailer, even if you have zero interest in this movie, which is like this very artsy movie about basically acting and blurring the lines between acting and reality. So it stars, I think her name is Helena Howard, as this teenage girl who's starting to get into a theater, and she's gotten accepted into this theater troupe that is very experimental. And the director starts like writing this story that's kind of blurs the line between Madeline's reality and like theater. Mm-hmm. And it also stars Miranda July, which that right there will tell you that it's going to be a bit strange. But I mean, even if the movie has no interest for you whatsoever, I think this trailer on its own is a piece of brilliant, brilliant artwork.
It's art. That trailer was
so genius.
I don't want to see it, but absolutely. I'm glad I saw that trailer.
Right. That like the movie for me is probably something that kind of like the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, okay, it's something that I'm curious about. But man, that fucking trailer is so dope. I tell everybody to watch the trailer.
I could not handle an hour and a half of this. But you know what? Yeah. Like 2 minutes? Hell yeah. I'd watch two minutes of that till the end of time.
I don't actually think the trailer is an indication of the movie. movie. Like, I don't think that that's how the movie is.
Yeah.
I think the movie is like a somewhat more linear story.
Oh, it probably is.
Driven, but that trailer is just so awesome.
Yeah.
Now that's taking a risk. I just thought it was amazing. I told everybody, you got to see this trailer. It's amazing. Also on the 10th, Skate Kitchen, I'm in.
I very much like this.
I'm so
anytime
in.
You know what, a girl gang full of skaters of any sort.
Yep.
I'm all on board.
So it's a story that unfolds. It's a story of a teenage girl who is a member of a skate crew in New York City called Skate Kitchen, and she meets a guy. And stuff happens. That's just a teen drama, teen romance drama. That just
happens. But lots of skating.
Lots of skating. Lots of skating. Directed by Crystal Moselle, who directed The Wolf Pack a couple of years ago. That documentary about the kids all lived. Yeah. I thought this looked so much fun.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm totally excited. Dale has no comment. Not for you.
I liked the setup of the skate girls and it being girl-centric. That looked interesting. But the visual style to it and just like the whole aesthetic of the movie just didn't appeal to me. I don't think I'd want to sit in a theater and watch in like an hour and a half of that.
That's fair. Also on the 10th, A Prayer Before Dawn, the apparent true story of an English boxer who ends up in a Thailand prison fighting for his life. I don't know. That byline is just so silly.
Too much drama for me.
I actually thought it looked really great. Like, I like the grittiness of it and the brutality of it because, that's what I like. But I'm not sure. I'm kind of like, meh. But Joe Cole looks like he's, like, nailing the role. But
yeah, I agree with that. But, again, not interested enough to watch it.
Me either. Okay, so Buy Bust. This is a Filipino action thriller. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
I watched it twice. I went back and watched it a second time to try and sort of go, what is going on here? It is a hot mess.
There's some sort of drug bust and cops and maybe they're dirty. I don't know.
It has a lot of the checkbox I look for, but I couldn't.
It's so messy.
Yeah, I'm just not interested.
So was this connected in any way in terms of people that made it to that movie that came out about storming the building?
Oh, Raid the...
Raid, the Raid?
Yeah, The Raid.
I don't think so. I actually didn't look, maybe.
Because that was the first thing I thought of when it was just like, oh...
Storm the Block.
Filipino.
That could have been what they were going for, but that's not kind of what they got.
Okay.
I don't think. That trailer was kind of a mess. I mean, the action looks really awesome, but it just looks too much of a mess.
I need some kind of story with my action.
You need something to go with it.
If it's just action, then why am...
It can be a thin veneer, but...
Exactly. Yeah. I kind of need a little bit more.
Exactly.
Moving on to the 17th, and I know we talked about this last month, and I don't know... Oh, so it did get pushed.
Yeah.
So Mile 22 with Mark Wahlberg. I'm still kind of on the fence about this.
It's
a very much a meh moment. Crazy Rich Asians, yes!
Wow, this looks like a lot of fun.
I cannot wait.
I can't believe... So I got this is one of those movies that made me curious because it's completely centered around like a whole Asian culture, right?
Yes.
So it's like, what are the critics going to be saying about this? Wow, what a lot of pushback over casting. Like, it's all Asian cast, but casting ethnic Chinese with non-ethnic Chinese and the whole... People went batshit crazy.
I know nothing about that, and I wasn't interested until all of a sudden Michelle Yeoh was on the screen. I'm like, yo, I'm on board.
Playing the badass aunt.
Ding, ding, ding.
With Constance Wu from Fresh Off the Boat, which is really hilarious if you haven't seen it. So this is based on Kevin Kwan's novel, which I did read. It's kind of like Jane Austen, set in Asia, for the new millennium, but it's basically the same thing. It's about this really rich guy who is in love and proposes to this, this typical girl.
Normal girl.
Yeah, and then he takes her to, like, the wedding of a best friend who is, like, the most eligible bachelor in Hong Kong. And everybody's like, well, who's this girl that he's dating? And all this drama ensues because she doesn't quite fit in. of course, not the right bloodline. Yeah, it's very like who knows what.
It was a crazy throw, like you say.
It's hilarious
with the Jane Austen stuff.
Totally,
it was very much totally a throwback to that whole class.
Yep, very
class
much so.
Thing, Merchant Ivory, but with a whole lot more comedy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I did like the line, "Why didn't you tell me you were the Prince William of freaking Asia or wherever?" Kind of thing.
It was like, Singapore, right?
Or Singapore. Yeah. Oh no, I'm much more hairy. All right,
it's pretty great.
I'll give you that one.
It's pretty great, and I highly recommend the book. It's a really, really fun read. Also on the 17th, Alpha. Okay, so this.
Oh God.
They've been promoting this for I want to say a year. Maybe not quite that long, but I remember seeing a trailer like a long time back. Directed by Albert Hughes, so half of the Hughes brothers. And it's, I'm hoping that the trailer isn't lying, because it seems like the movie is pretty much silent, which would be totally badass. So it's a story of survival set 20,000 years ago, mm-hmm. when basically like a kid is presumed dead and then he finds a wolf and is trying to make his way home to his tribe, who all think he's dead. But you know, it's prehistoric, so they shouldn't be able to talk, but we'll see.
How do we know?
Well, this is it, right? Maybe the aliens came down. I have no idea.
All I know is this trailer is so by the book.
It's so
cue the dramatic music.
Well, this is like, it. It's very like high drama, but I really like the Hughes brothers, and I don't think I've seen anything that they directed separately, so I'm not sure, but I'm certainly super curious, and I really, really hope that the trailer isn't being deceptive and that actually it's all silent, because that would be kind of badass. I mean, I'm okay with a little bit of voiceover, but it would be great if somebody actually took the sort of the a chance on doing a movie mostly silent. It'd be cool. So we'll see.
All right.
Also on the 17th, Juliet Naked. I'm trying to remember this. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm trying to remember this trailer. Yes. It's the one with Ethan Hawke playing a tortured artist.
And Rosie Byrne.
Oh, yeah. So Rose Byrne
Tucker
and Chris.
Tucker Crow.
Well, so Rose Byrne and Chris O'Dowd play a couple. He is completely obsessed
with
this.
He's a douche.
He's a douche that's completely obsessed with this musician from the 90s, played by Ethan Hawke, which is, I think, is just hilarious. And she thinks he's insane. So she writes a bad review about his like latest album and starts corresponding with the actual artist.
With the actual artist, yeah.
And then, you know, stuff happens from there. You should just watch the trailer. I think it looks amazing.
I love the turnaround.
Me too.
It just looks kind of delightful.
But quite honestly, the thing that really like tickled my fancy was Ethan Hawke playing a tortured artist from the 90s.
Yeah.
That just, I'm like, that is so perfect. I couldn't even have made that up on my own. It's great. The Wife, directed by Bjorn Runge, starring Christian Slater and, oh, actually it's Glenn Close is the main character.
Yeah.
So she plays the wife of a writer who gets the Nobel Prize for literature.
He's incredibly insecure
and incredibly douchey.
So self-serving.
It's a story of basically her giving up everything to support him.
Okay, so this is my question to you. And of course, so we're mentioning Max Irons plays their son, who is also a writer, who is apparently not living up to dad's standards. And Christian Slater plays the interview, like a journalist who is interviewing him and her kind of doing like a big piece on the fact that he's getting this big prize.
I didn't even realize it was Christian Slater.
Okay, so this is my question, because I kind of got the sense, and it's based on a novel by Meg Wolitzer. I kind of got the sense that maybe she was writing the books for him. Did either of you kind of get that?
There was some sort of vibe like that going on, but they never, like, I was confused.
And I'm kind of wondering if maybe that's part of the...
I briefly got that, and then I lost it almost as soon as... Yeah, like...
But that kind of... It kind of came in the trailer, and I watched the trailer twice, and I thought... You know, that's kind of really interesting. I'm wondering if there's anything to that. So I'm super curious to see it. It's totally my kind of, you know, high drama kind of people that I would never meet.
I couldn't watch
it.
This film would just infuriate me.
Yeah,
like
it'll probably make me
the fact that they're like treating her as almost like a second class citizen because she's not a writer when she is a fucking writer, but you won't acknowledge it.
Well, this is it, and I'm kind of hoping that there was something in there because I get the sense that the trailer kind of is leading on to the big drama of the movie, which is she's going to dump some bomb that's going to turn everybody upside down. I'm hoping.
Don't think that's going to happen.
Fingers crossed.
That's interesting. I got the sense that there was something was going to blow up, but I had no idea what it was.
And yeah, me either.
I'm kind of like Colleen. Like I'm interested in this story, but I don't know if I trust it to be told in a way that I could sit down and watch.
Yeah,
I could go with that, especially from a filmmaker that I'm totally unfamiliar with. We are We the Animals. Oh, this looks so sad. This is the trailer was three brothers, basically dealing with the fallout of their parents' breakup.
Too many feels for me.
Yeah, it. The trailer was really depressing.
Yeah,
it made me really, really sad. But the movie looks really good. It's the kind of thing that you kind of need to be in the right mind, headspace for. And I wasn't even in the headspace for the trailer, never mind the full movie. But it looks really interesting. And it's also based on a novel, which was really, really well received a couple of years back. And then also on the 17th, wrapping up the week, The Little Mermaid. Like, what the actual fuck?
Has anyone here seen Something Wicked This Way Comes?
No.
It came... Wow, a lot of years ago. Anyway, the movie had that kind of vibe for me. But if that doesn't mean anything to you, never mind.
Oh, this is the vibe I got. What?
I got a Neil Gaiman vibe off it without actually being a coherent Neil Gaiman property.
I don't, like, it wasn't even the story that I'm going what at. It's the quality of this trailer, which is terrible. The acting looks completely stilted.
Yeah.
The trailer feels like it's 7,000 hours long. I barely finished it. And the whole time I'm like, who did Shirley MacLaine piss off to end up in this movie? And is the actual wording that they use in the trailer, do they know they made a spelling mistake? Or did they do that as a play on words? Like, I'm not sure. Like, did you guys pick up on that? It says experience a new twist on a classic tale, but tale with like...
T-A-I-L. No, they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Considering the quality of this trailer, not 100% sure about that.
Honestly, I think that was probably the one thing that they came up with. It's like, okay, how about this? It's a new tale, but it's a tale, like as yes. in like, well, we could do a werewolf film. No, mermaid. Yes, mermaid film. That's exactly how this film got made. It's like two guys spitballing about like, yeah.
So, I mean, the actual concept is pretty cool. Like, it's the idea that mermaids really exist, and this reporter goes to find this myth in, like, somewhere in, is it the Midwest or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the concept is neat. The trailer is just so bad.
All I remember is, oh, it's inland. Okay.
Yeah. The whole thing.
I had that same thought, too, going, what? The mermaid of the Mississippi?
Yeah, she's a river mermaid.
A river mermaid? Isn't that like sure. a selkie or something? I don't know.
The trailer, I don't know. Okay, let's move on. To August 24th and more things I don't understand. The Happy Time Murders.
Okay, why is there not a trailer for this, goddammit?
I found one.
What? Yeah, there is a trailer for
this. It's on YouTube, though.
Oh.
Oh, dude, it's so bad.
Is it really?
Okay.
I don't know.
We're not going to watch it right now, but in between this and the Little Hobbit show, I need to see that. So,
like, Brian Henson and the trailer started off like, okay, this is looking like fun because, you know, Melissa McCarthy. The end where they had, God, what was it? At least a 30 or 40 second ejaculation puppet scene. They didn't show anything.
So bad.
I was like, what?
Is this like Team America World?
Team America World Police like, at least was okay. fun.
That like 5 minute marionette sex scene went on. But I mean,
the trailer for that was actually like fun.
Okay.
I like this trailer, like at the end of it, I was, the first time I saw it, I'm like, I never need to see that again. And I have no idea why anybody would want to watch this movie.
Okay, I need to see this because either I'm going to be 100% on board of it or I'm going to hate this.
Should we pause the show and watch Show Calling the trailer and come back?
That requires editing. That Moving on.
It's just, Dale, you were going to say something.
Brain Swiss cheese. Who did Lord of the Rings?
Oh, Tolkien?
The movies.
Peter Jackson.
Jackson, thank you. Jackson did a puppet-based movie, and the story I heard behind it was he was compelled to do it with like New Zealand content and stuff, so he kind of did a big fuck you, and it's like, I am going to make the grossest puppet movie you can ever, and he did.
Oh God, I might love this.
And
film.
It is apparently it is just crazy bad. Like, like outrageous.
Please let it be the Holy Grail. Anyways, moving on. Slender Man.
Yeah, I said, if that trailer is indicative of the movie, it's definitely a pass. I'm kind of hoping in my heart because you know Melissa McCarthy and Elizabeth Banks and that and Brian Henson, that's not indicative of the movie.
The trailer just totally put me off. Slender Man.
My jam.
Pretty much. But I gotta say, this trailer is kind of badass. Even though it doesn't really tell you what the fuck is going on, I'm in.
I don't need to see it, but actually the trailer was fairly well
I really like the trailer, and I really like Joey King. She's sort of one of my Canadian finds from a couple of years ago, and I'm a big fan of hers, so I'm totally in for that. I think it looks pretty good. Also on the 24th, AXL. Oh, okay.
The movie's called Meet the Feebles.
Oh, yeah, which I've never seen.
1989.
Beat the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
All right.
AXL.
Hard pass.
Yeah, oh, man.
About a top secret dog that's robot dog thing. I don't know.
How is this? This must be like a TV movie that slipped into like this.
You know what it is? They spent so much money on it. They're like, we fucking have to put this in the theater so we can make some of our money back.
I mean, this is exactly the kind of movie I look for when I need just something brainless that's somewhat kind of eye candy to watch because of the tech effects. And then I know in the end that it's going to like be a feel good, but it's like not a theatrical movie.
But not even that. It's just... It just looks so lame.
It does look lame.
Like the kid finds this dog in the junkyard.
In the genre of these kinds of movies, it just looks lame.
So bad. I mean, I don't know. The effects look pretty great, but I can't do it. I can't do it. The story just looks so terrible. Okay, and I'm going to fucking kill whoever thought this was a good idea. Like, quite honestly, this has got to be the worst idea
We did not need another version of this.
Why? Why do we need another version of Papillon? Why?
Spite?
Who is going to want to see this thing? Like, quite honestly, in today's market, who has interest in a movie like this?
Butterfly enthusiasts.
Not me.
I mean, I love the original. It is, quite honestly, one of the greatest mind-blowing experiences I ever had watching a movie. Because it was one of the first sort of classic things that I saw, and when I was finished, I was like, well, that happened, and I am not the same as I was 3 hours ago when this thing started. That was kind of amazing, and I've seen it a bunch of times since then, but I still don't understand why we needed an update, especially an update with Charlie Hunnam, of all people. Like, are you for real?
I don't know. And now I love Escape from Prison films. I really do, but I'm just not interested in seeing this.
So for those that don't know about this amazingness that was the original, it's the story of these two guys that are basically sent to this remote prison island.
Indiana.
And for Guiana. I don't know how many years they plan their escape. And, you know, it's a bad scene.
And it's a period piece.
So... The remake is, and this is what kind of my mind is kind of, because I looked at it and I'm like, oh, why does the name sound familiar? So Michael Knorr co-directed a film a couple of years ago with Tobias Lindem called R, which I saw at VIFF and totally blew my mind. It was fucking amazing. And the two have, that was the last movie they made together because they were like a directing duo and they've since separated. And Knorr has gone on to make a bunch of movies, none of which have been particularly good. Whereas Lindem has gone on to make a bunch of movies, all of which have been fucking amazing. So you can kind of see where the talent was in that pair up. But now that that's happened and now that we have this movie, I don't know. I can't do it. I don't think I can do this.
All right.
It's not 3 hours long, but it feels equally as...
133 minutes. That's still 2 hours and change. Because you can't really...
But the thing is, like, I think that the original was 3 hours long because it needed the 3 hours to tell the story. I don't think you really need the 3 hours to tell the story. Like, I think it was like an artistic choice at the time. Necessary here.
It's okay to tell us how you really feel.
Can you tell I'm pissed off? I just don't know. I saw this trailer and I'm like, why? Why do we need this? Rami Malek, what are you doing? You are so much better than this. Okay. Sorry. I will move on now.
All right.
Let's move on to Support the Girls, which actually looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So the story of a manager and her waitresses working basically like a diner.
A Hooters.
Yeah. It looks fucking hilarious.
It does look good.
It looks really great.
I enjoyed the trailer.
Me too.
The last scene in the trailer is my favorite moment in the entire thing, where she's outside, I guess, having a panic attack or something like that, the manager. And one of the girls comes out the door suddenly, fires off a confetti shotgun, and goes, "We love you!" And then, like, closes the door again as she's having a heart attack.
Yeah, it's like, did that really happen? It just looks like it could be a lot of fun.
The chemistry with these characters is... Agreed. And I guess it's... I don't recall seeing her before. I guess it's Regina Hall. Like,
yeah.
Her performances in the trailer are... amazing.
Like, yeah, she's really good.
I want to watch it just to watch more of her, but I hope the story works. Like, yeah. I'm not convinced. This is the kind of story that strikes me as like, we're going to bring out like the feels hammer at the end and just pound the shit out of you with our music and our speechifying. I hope it doesn't go there because I really like this, like what I was seeing in the trailer.
Agreed. 110%. Though I must say, if I'm going to be watching a movie that weekend, it's going to be the Keanu Reeves vehicle, people. Because it's Keanu Reeves, obviously.
Yeah.
Replicas, even though it looks kind of terrible.
It does look terrible, but as soon as I saw Keanu, I went,
you know, I'm there.
Marine is watching.
So, Keanu Reeves plays a scientist who's obsessed with bringing back his family, who I can't figure out if they're in a coma or if they're dead or what.
Something bad happened.
Oh, you didn't see the trailer I saw then.
Oh.
The trailer I saw was like, yeah, a car accident.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did not see that trailer. Okay. Yeah. So they're like in a coma.
They're dead.
Oh, what?
We're talking full-on cloning.
Yes, we're talking he brought them back from the dead.
Yeah, cellular regenerations.
Man, okay. I saw complete... I guess the trailer I saw, you know, gave away else? Much more of
no,
the
No, you know what else it could have been? Full Admission. I watched like 30 seconds of the trailer. I'm like, it's Keanu Reeves. I'm so And I went to the next movie. Oops, I guess I missed the important parts about the trailer. Oops. I'm going to see it anyways.
I couldn't figure out what kind of movie this wanted to be. Like, I'm interested in it, but depending on what direction it wants to go, like it... If it wants to go more horror, I don't think I'm as interested as if it's like going to chew on some really fun ideas with a nice little action plot over top.
It's Keanu. I know. I have a problem. I'm sorry in advance. Totally didn't realize that. Okay. Moving on to the 24th. On the 24th still with The Bookshop. I think this looks really charming.
This is like... This movie came out, was released last year. Like, I've seen it.
Oh, really?
advertised. I'm sure I've seen it released somewhere else.
It could have been. It might have been released in like the UK because I think it was produced there.
Okay.
And slowly rolled out.
Oh, it's definitely like a British period.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So directed by Isabelle Cochet, who is probably best known for Secret Life of Words and My Life Without Me, stars Emily Mortimer as this young woman who decides to open a bookshop.
She's recently widowed.
So she opens this bookshop in like this little English town, and people don't like that there's a bookshop in the town, or maybe they don't like that it's a woman running the bookshop in the town.
It's a very foreign thing in this.
Yeah, actually having
nowhere.
A commercial shop.
Yes,
on their street.
And Bill Nye plays the nice man in town who actually thinks this is a great idea, and there might be some romantic inclination there. And Patricia Clarkson is always good as a bitch. She plays a really good bitch. She doesn't always play that character, but she plays that character really well when needed. And she certainly seems to be filling the shoes here. I thought it looked really charming. Beautifully Broken. Sure. Three families. One of them is in Rwanda, I think, trying to escape. Not really sure which the second family is because I only really saw two. And then there's a third family who is like the preacher in the Midwest.
I didn't finish this trailer. Like, I was so confused halfway in.
It was terrible.
Yeah, me too. That's kind of
no interest.
Didn't do anything for me. John McEnroe in The Realm of Perfection.
Oh.
Is this a experimental doc?
I didn't even want... I remember the whole John McEnroe years, and I just don't want to watch the fucktard. I don't want to watch anything about the fucktard.
So
I just... Hard pass.
But you know what? The trailer is really interesting because it looks like director Julien Faureau took footage of this one match and like footage of like pre-match, the match, and after the match, and has crafted a documentary which is 95 minutes long, only out of this archival footage. And I'm not 100% sure what he's getting at. It's really weird. Like, the trailer is kind of bizarre and kind of amazing at the same time. And I'm like, I don't really want to watch this movie, but I can really appreciate what you're going for here. Like, it's just very different. I thought it would look kind of interesting. I must see for John McEnroe fans,
mm-hmm.
of which apparently Dale is not one.
He isn't everyone's cup of tea.
No, not really.
No.
The poster child of entitlement.
Oh, no shit, right? Moving on to the end of the month and kicking off the 31st with Kin. Jack Rayner as a recently released from prison.
Parole.
Ex-con,
thank you. Sort of trying to get his life back in order. His little brother follows him, you know, his, you know, big brother does what big brother wants to do. They find this weird gun thing. There might be aliens and people trying to get this gun thing. I don't know. It just looks kind of crazy and kind of fun at the same time. It's like this sci-fi family drama thing. I don't know. It just looks like it could be cool. Am I the only one that thinks it might be cool?
I'm not interested in this at all.
I didn't know what to think. I honestly didn't know what to think.
And I totally did not explain it properly because my mind is just
You did as
much.
Well as the trailer. I mean, brother's out of jail, some shit's happening, kid finds like this tech advanced weapon and
yeah.
And
then everybody wants
happens.
The weapon. Yeah.
And then we start seeing other scenes with other people in high tech stuff and no explanation of where they came from. So
yeah, I don't know. It looks like it could be fun. The Little Stranger. I'm in. Lenny Abrahamson, the dude behind the Room and Frank, based on a novel by Sarah Waters. I've never read any of her stuff, but man, Fingersmith is kind of awesome. And the Handmaiden adaptation is pretty badass. So Domhnall Gleeson stars as a doctor who goes to it's a period piece set in late 40s. Goes to this house to, I guess, deal with this kid to look into this kid who, you know, might be sick or something is going on. I have no idea. He might be a shrink. I'm not really sure. Ruth Wilson is there. Or
a alienist.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, very good. Very good, Dale. I don't know. It looks like it could be a, like a haunted house thing. It's kind of what I'm getting out of the whole thing.
It definitely has a haunted house thing going
There's
on.
There's bells going off where people aren't ringing bells and all the staff's like, what the fuck's going on? And, you know, yeah. I don't know. It could be good. I'm in.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I thought you'd totally be into the period piece.
It aesthetically, yeah, it hits all the buttons, but you know what? I don't know.
Tell me you saw the trailer for Bloodfest.
I did not.
Oh.
Because
another YouTuber.
Yeah, because you know what? This is so not the movie for me, like at all. But if anybody I know would be into this movie, it would be you.
What? I'm reading the description now.
It is so meta.
It's about a bunch of kids that are going to this festival thing where they're showing a bunch of horror movies, except the guy that puts on the festival, it's actually a nefarious plan to draw in victims for like this blood spatter thing. I think it looks fucking terrible, but I'm sure you're gonna love it. Well,
from the description, it sounds definitely like something that I want to be involved with. Not necessarily watch, but I want to be there at the festival where people start dying and we're all watching iconic horror films. Yes.
At one point in the trailer, the guy is holding up a map with this little line on it with like 1 to 12. And it's like, we have to go through 12 horror scenarios to survive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty, pretty badass.
All right.
And that's the month.
Thank goodness.
I know, right? We actually went through that much faster than I thought we would. So let's look at VIF, because they've actually got their entire schedule up, which is shocking.
Wait.
I know.
What?
There's Nico, 1988.
The VIF Theater, not the festival.
Not the festival. I'm not going, there's no way. That's like October. There's no way they've nailed it down for
not yet.
July.
They've started announcing titles here and there, but they haven't actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going anyways.
So at the Van City Theater, The King, this is Eugene Jarecki's documentary where he's bought Elvis Presley's 1963 Rolls Royce, and he's driven it across the country talking to people about Elvis.
I need me a hobby like that. Something weird.
It sounds kind of neat. Yeah. I don't know. The trailer kind of, I was into it. I was totally into it.
Speaking of The King, podcast, I'll figure it out later, but I was listening to the podcast about paraxis or something, like when people are unable to remember something they should, and they had Elvis's last performance of Will You Miss Me Tonight, do-do-do-do tonight, and then the spoken bridge where he completely falls apart and just starts trying to, like, rhyme things. It's fucking hilarious. Anyways, let's carry on.
Scotty and the Secret History of... Oh, and sorry, that's playing August 3rd to the 9th. Scotty and the Secret History of Hollywood... Okay, so I had no idea about this. So this is from Matt Turnauer. He did Citizen Jane, Battle for the City, and Valentina, the Last Emperor. So it's the documentary about Scott Bowers, who was like apparently the escort king of Hollywood in the 40s. So he started by being like basically renting himself out as an escort to people for parties. And he then brought in like his friends and acquaintances, the same thing. But he was like hooking up like guys and girls and threesomes and whatever else. So he basically knew the dirt on every Hollywood star of the 40s. And apparently the documentary goes into all of that, which is kind of cool. So that's playing August 3rd to the 14th. It sounds kind of badass. Summer 1993, we talked about this a couple of months back. It's Carla Simone's autobiographical story about the young girl who gets sent to live with her family, her aunt and uncle in the countryside. Okay, McQueen. this is documentary on Alexander McQueen. I already have my tickets. Yeah. We are so going. Playing August 10th to the 20th. Nico, which we talked about earlier, playing August 17th to the 22nd. Support the Girls, which we also talked about earlier, playing the 24th to the 30th. The Night is Short, Walk On Girl. This is Masaki Yusada's new movie. He's the guy that directed Lou Over the Wall last year. The really like crazy looking animated film from Japan. About a young woman who meets a bunch of guys over the course of an evening. And particularly one who will do almost anything to get her attention. Mm-hmm. It looks really crazy, playing the 24th to the 28th. And that's it there. The Cinematheque, the only thing of note at the Cinematheque is they're doing their film noir screening series.
I always say I'm going. I really need to go one year.
Playing August 3rd to the 23rd. Movies include Out of the Past, Crisscross, and The Lonely Place, Dead Reckoning. The Postman Always Rings Twice, which I fully admit I have never seen, so I may need to fix that. My Name is Julia Ross, Pushover, Strangers on a Train, Crossfire, and Macau. And their film club for the month is The Illusionist, playing August the 19th.
That is a bunch of film noir that doesn't get played much. Like, there's a one or two that are bigger kind of thing, but wow.
And that's what I noticed about their film noir series over the years, is they tend to play a majority of, like, sort of underseen gems, and then couple of classics.
Even more than normal, I would say, because I've watched a lot of film noir.
Well, they've been running the series for like a long time, so I'm guessing they're kind of scraping the barrel at this point. Yeah. They might have.
There's a few I'm just going to have to look up because I don't know. I haven't even read descriptions on them.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the month. That's all I got.
Hooray!
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 So come on by. We will link to trailers, even the ones Colleen didn't see. So you can partake in the awesomeness or not so awesomeness of some of those trailers. Come on by atcpod.ca for the links. And stay tuned. We will be back in a couple of weeks with the media spew. So until then.
I just wanted to.
Yes.
I've forgotten his name, but the fellow that wrote like Rashomon and passed away. That was sad.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember his name? This is horrible. I should have written it down, but
I don't. I'm going to not even try to remember because I will not.
I was sad because... Okay, let me look. I need to look at least get up. People a name. I was sad because when I read all of the films that he had written for Akira Kurosawa, I was like blown away. Like, this guy wrote a body of films. Yeah. Okay. Parking lot drama, right?
Okay, well, so what was the name? We will make noises. And then I have to share a story with you about something that I just listened to, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh my God, I can't pronounce it. Ryan Sugakawa? No, man, I guess just look it up.
But we gave him props.
Yeah.
Shout out! Because he pretty much wrote pretty much all of Kurosawa's films, didn't he?
Yeah, he wrote like a big majority of them.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so there is an episode, the episode of WTF with Paul Rudd is perhaps one of the most genius bits of meta comedy that I have listened to in a very long time. Perhaps ever. There is a portion where I guess at the garage there is some guy like mowing the lawn, and they make mention of it, and they're like, oh well, we'll deal with it when the lawnmower gets closer. And then when you can actually hear the lawnmower in the background, they do this weird thing which goes on for like 3 minutes. And it is both the most annoying thing and the funniest thing I have ever heard. It is so worth listening to because it's just so crazy. And come on, it's Paul Rudd. He is just, he comes across as like the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah.
He's just this nice guy.
All right.
Okay, I got the name wrong, but I hear this name is more for Shinobu Hashimoto.
Ah. Shinobu Hashimoto.
Yeah, because he just passed away, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like literally this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Rashomon, Seven Samurai, Ikaru, Throne of Blood, Bad Sleep Well, Hidden Fortress, plus Harakiri and Samurai Rebellion for Kobayashi.
Samurai Rebellion.
Okay, yeah.
You just named my favorite samurai film ever, even more than Yojimbo.
So yeah, kind of a huge loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Now I have to watch Samurai Rebellion. God, I love that film. That girl basically telling all the powerful men, fuck you, at the end. Yes, I love it. It's the best. If you haven't seen Samurai Rebellion, watch it. There's not a lot of samurai sword fights until the very end. Basically, what the woman does triggers just this big, massive melee, and it's worth it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch this.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
I'm writing it down, otherwise I'll totally forget. So, yeah, come on by atcpod.ca. I'm not going to write and talk at the same time.
All right.
And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
Oh, man.
In life for free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. Everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want